Well, now we move into that time where we'll worship and praise God through getting into his word. So my name is Will. I don't think I introduced myself. I see some people here that I haven't met before. Welcome. Glad that you're here. I'm the pastor of The Ridge. Currently, we are going through the book of Colossians, but I say that with an asterisk next to that because the Holy Spirit throws all sorts of curveballs. So if you look up this scripture for today, Colossians 3, 11 through 17, what you'll say is you'll say, well, that looks a lot like the scripture we talked about last week. Yes, it is. So I put a slide up here that's blank. I wanted to ask you, because we're building on something. And sometimes the Holy Spirit tells me, Will, slow down. Because when we're going through a book, we take a section of scripture, and the Lord pops something up. Talk about this, Will, okay? And then we move on, right? No. So forgive me for doing that on too many occasions. So right now he said stop. So let's stop. What have we been talking about? Help those who haven't been here. What have we been talking about lately? Another thing, if you're here at The Ridge, I don't want to just talk at you. I need your help, okay? I'm not that smart. So I need your help to help me figure out this. What have we been talking about over the past few weeks? Anyone? Everyone was sleeping. What's that?
The Christians.
The Christians? We're talking about the Christians. Very good answer. Yeah. Yeah, back here.
Living in Christ.
Living in Christ. Yeah. Forgiveness. Yeah. Gossip. Yeah, that was one of the topics. Gossip. Right? We were also talking about this. Paul is writing a letter in Colossians to believers. And some of these were newer in their faith. And so he is trying to help them understand that this is how you walk with Christ. This is how you live with Christ. One of the things that we've encountered as we're marching through this is this idea that you and I, even though we're being renewed inside every day, there's something that's called the flesh, the old part of us that still has desires and wants. And left unchecked, even though you're forgiven, even though you're saved, there's still this possibility for you to fall into sin because your flesh desires things that are sinful. And so the great news for anyone who's feeling older and older every day, right, is that's how it's supposed to happen because the sin does not finally leave you in your presence until you get rid of this body. So praise God if you limped in this morning and you don't feel well because that's how it's supposed to happen. Even though you're being renewed inside daily, on the outside it's wasting away, right? Who would think to say hallelujah about that? Or, oh yeah. So we don't want to just jump forward on that. So I want to go back into this section of scripture and share with you some other things that the Lord has taught me through this and is teaching me. So let me pray before we get into this. Lord, I pray that you would guide this. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and that you would fill me. And in your power, you would have me say things that help. Say things that help people's hearts to soften and their minds to open to you, that you can come in to their presence, Lord, and call them to be yours. Call them to yourself, to make them followers of Christ, and have them join the congregation of believers that meet, whether it's in this church or one of the other local churches in our area, that they would become part of that body. And I just pray this, Jesus, in your name, completely dependent on your power to do it. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go back, if you were making notes, we're going back to Colossians 3, verse 11. And it starts like this. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Let me pause for a moment to talk about our times. Has anyone noticed the pull to division that's happening in the world around us? Right? If you've lived a few years, I wouldn't say this is new. Just the flavor of the day might be different of what's causing us towards that. And I can say as your pastor, like, I fall into frustration about this. And not only with those that don't believe, but more so with those who believe. And right now, there's all sorts of opinions, all sorts of ideas, all sorts of division. But what Paul's calling you to, what I'm calling you to remember that each one of you, as I look at your beautiful and handsome faces and then some of the rest of you, which I won't comment on. I can see very clearly that you come probably from different parts of the country, different age groups. Fair to say? Different likes, different dislikes. But in this place, we come together as a congregation of believers. As Paul tells us, we become a body. We become strong where others aren't. So it's a good thing that we're different. But the challenge in that is that we can work against each other instead of with each other. Are you with me on that? And when we see that, okay, we're encountering all sorts of things, right? There's political parties. So depending on which side you're at, you're arguing with the other one, and you, right? Everyone hates their leaders. And then, okay, what about racial injustice? And what about the virus? But what I see is people who love God being nasty to other people. And so no matter what you feel, I need to remind you, do not be nasty to other people. That's how we should stand out. It's not the hat you wear. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not always even the words that you say or what you eat or what you don't eat. That's what he's saying here. None of those things are as important as the fact that we're all called by one God to be one body. Amen. And when we're divided, we're useless. Okay? We're useless. When we're joined together, when we're united, and what unites us is not where we come from or even what everything that we believe necessarily, but who we believe and trust in. Okay? So I'm just telling you. So if you start telling me a story, I need to, as your pastor, as your friend, to say, wow, that was actually nasty. Even if the person you were talking to is wrong, we'll see what happens. So let's see if you can hear me still. Even if the person you're, can you hear me? Okay. Okay. Even if the person you are talking to is wrong, even if they ask you to put on a mask, don't be nasty with them. Like, I will go to the bitter end about that. And forgive me for getting passionate about that. But guys, this is a chance that we have. This is a chance that we have to actually be Christians for once, to be believers. And so we must be united. We must be there for one another and not be nasty to one another. Okay. Enough of that? There we go. Therefore, verse 12, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message, you see that, first of all, let's just be thankful. Guys, what Paul's trying to tell us is because of everything that Jesus did, you're in a great position to simply be thankful. Amen. To be thankful, and not worried. If you jump ahead in this Bible, there's a book in the back called Revelation. And Revelation talks about how this all is going to end. And yeah, it can be a little confusing, maybe a little mysterious at times. But I'll tell you what you won't find in there that I'm very sure of. The Lord didn't tell us that you and I are going to be so great and so smart and so righteous that we're going to save the world. That's not in there. If you found that, bring it to me, please, because I want to be corrected if I'm wrong. But what you don't find is that you and I and what we're doing, how we act, and the way that we live our lives is going to save the world. It's just not going to happen. It's not what's going to happen. Okay, that's not an excuse to just live however you want. Okay? Because before Jesus comes back to set everything right, because that's how it ends. Jesus comes back, sets everything right. But what he's doing now is not, he's not distracted, he's not slow to act. What he is he's patient, loving every one of us so much and longing that none of us would die and not be in his presence. That he's patient, giving us time to come to him. That's what the Bible says. So you and I, we can help one another. Because I know praying about this week that there's people in here who are on the fence about whether this is true and what they believe. And you and I, who feel confident in what you believe, we have a responsibility, an obligation to those who are on the outside not so sure or not sure what they believe or not sure what their parents told them was true is true and whether it's their own. We have a responsibility to them to be a witness to them of how we live and who we are. Does that make sense? So even though you don't have to correct things, there is a way in which God's called us to live and asked us to live. And that's what Paul's talking about. So he says, when you're doing this, let the message of Christ, which is such good news, right, dwell among you richly as Will teaches you. No, as you teach and admonish one another. This whole bring them into the holy building with the holy guy who gives them the holy messages is wrong. It's not it. You each bring this to one another. That's why we gather to pray. That's why we have a cares group. That's why we get together during the week in small groups. Let the message of Christ dwell among us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, here would be a whole sermon in itself, right, this one. And whatever you do, verse 17, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, that in itself, right, could be a sermon, but that's not where God's asked me to share with you. So here's what I'm asking you to consider today. I'm asking you to consider, let's start with this section of Scripture. In the version of the Bible that I was reading from, it said it this way. It says, clothe yourselves with. Other versions, it says, put on. And even a couple weeks ago, right, I put on some little shirts, right, to show you. Well, honestly, that's probably not the best way to demonstrate that. Really, this word here that some are saying, or a section of words that are saying, clothe yourselves with, or put on, it really means to enter into, to get into. So it'd almost be less of a t-shirt and more of something you would actually step into, right? It's like Brandon getting into a jumper or something, right, Brandon? You're actually getting into that. So it's telling us to enter into, to get into. What's it telling us to get into? These things. Get into or clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, so here's what we do, right? Write those down and then be those. Right? Write those down. This is what we're doing, right? Write those down. Be those, Jim. Always, man. Compassion, that should be you. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. I mean, do we even know what that means? Okay. Let me just say what I don't want to do today is give you this list of virtues that you are supposed to have and say, go do it. I shouldn't do that to you if I can't be that myself. I shouldn't impose that on you if I can't do that myself. And let me just confess before you that I am not always those virtues. I don't always act in those ways. I don't always portray those ways, even in light of what I'm talking about, right? Even maybe there where I started getting heating up about the way that Christians treat non-Christians in the midst of a pandemic. That gets me fired up and angry, actually, which is not compassionate because they're frustrated too. So right there, I demonstrated to you unintentionally that I can't be that list of like 5-6 things right there. Not 100% of the time, not all the time. So let's take a moment. I wanted to make sure that we have better definitions here. Compassion. Tell me. Help me out here. Help me understand compassion. What does that mean to you? Like not a dictionary definition, but for you. Yeah.
Sympathetic.
Okay.
Caring, loving.
Sympathetic, caring, loving.
Gentle.
Trying to understand when you don't, is that what you said? Yeah, trying to understand even when you don't. Was there other hands I saw somewhere? What does it mean to be compassionate, or what does that look like? The more you talk, the better it's going to be. Yeah.
The feeling I get when I read about that girl who
was missing. Okay, the feeling. So you read a story about a girl who was missing, and it was the feeling that you got.
When you...
Where someone was missing from where?
Africa.
from Anthem. Okay, there was a girl missing from Anthem, and he felt this feeling that he had, knowing that she was missing. Yeah, these are all very good. These are much more helpful than a dictionary definition. Who else? Yeah.
Empathy.
Yeah. She said her mom always taught her to put yourself in the other person's place, right? Like walk in their shoes, right? Yeah, Jamie. That's a good point. She said laying aside your judgments or thoughts so that you can actually care for that person and put yourself in that spot. Yeah. Yeah, this is great. So the dictionary tells us this. The word there that, interesting enough, that word we're translating to compassion actually refers to a compassionate heart. So actually, it's more so used for the feeling side than the action side. Okay? So some of the things you were saying, so like with the kids, with the backpack, I mean, it was great that you did a compassionate act, but what was more talked about in this section of scripture was a compassionate feeling. So if that's true, then you actually talking to them and looking them in the eyes and getting their story was 10 times more valuable in this section of scripture than the simple act of giving them a backpack. Does that make sense? So that's what Paul's talking about. But the word compassion could be defined as sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. So here they're defining both the feeling and then the action. You really want to alleviate the harm. Next word, kindness. Sorry about the formatting, different computers. Kindness. This word really that's translated really means a kindness of heart or action. So this is feeling and action, this word. What about kindness? What does kindness look like in our world or in your world? Anyone? What's that?
Caring
people? Yeah. Seeing a need and acting on it. You said being loving. Yeah. Isn't kindness great, though? Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I missed that. Doing unto others. Yeah, helpful. So the definition that the dictionary gave me was generous, helpful, and thinking about others' feelings, not causing harm or damage. And see, these words, it's if you really let them sort of have their work, it's almost refreshing when you think about it. When you find someone who's kind, right, when someone's showing you compassion, you know it's good when you receive it, right? You feel that it's good. You know at a level deeper than your consciousness that this is good. Next word, humility, right? Humility. It could refer to a lowliness of mind. What's humility look like? Putting others first?
Sacrificial.
Like Christ, okay, was an example of this. Not caring about yourself first, but putting someone else first, yeah.
To forgive.
Having an honest opinion of where you're really at in life. Yeah. Hi. Let me see those toes. Can I see it? Oh, did you do that?
No, the doctor did.
The doctor did that?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good doctor.
They painted
your toes? See, right now, guys, we have all our family in here. So I do this to illustrate because she's super cute, but also if you're a parent, if your kids talk or cry, whether they're like 3 months or 13, that's okay? They could be used in the sermon, but I love it because I actually sometimes I'm sad that the kids aren't in here all the time, so I love it when they're in here. And I got to find a doctor that'll paint my toenails, you know? I mean, so humility, right? The honest opinion. So I want to get a couple of volunteers because I feel like you guys might be glazing over if we don't do this. So here's this humility. I had some help here. Some people helped me kind of pimp out these signs. Who would be willing to stand up here and hold the sign for me? Humility. You want to come hold the sign? Aubrey, you want to come hold the sign? Awesome. Do you want to just hold this for me? You can stand behind it and then hold it. Do you think you can hold that there? Do you want to sit up on the stage? Or do you want to stand? Will you stand up here with me?
By my grandma.
You want to sit with your grandma? Okay. There you go. You want to stand on the chair? Okay. So humility, right? We'll give her like double chairs here so she's got plenty of, got like a stage. You want to stand up and show that? Okay, now we'll go backwards a little bit right here, right? We have compassion and kindness. Who wants to hold the compassion sign for me? You can stand on a chair if you want to. Anyone else want to hold one? Oh, back here? Okay, come on up. And you could just stand up here. Who else would like to hold a kindness sign for me? We got it. Sweet. Right? So we talked about compassion, we talked about kindness, and we talked about humility, right? The dictionary definition for humility would be the quality or condition of being humble, a modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance or rank. Okay. Next one, gentleness. Also, the word could be translated meekness. What's that mean, to be gentle or meek?
Tender.
Anyone else? Gentle or meek? So I think we've got to remember, meek is not weak. There's a choice. And so the definition is the condition of being gentle, gentleness, which gentle would mean the state or quality of being gentle in manners or disposition, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, kindness, tenderness. Do you see what's interesting about these things? Is these things are all, these actions actually are coming from inside you, and you're acting according to what's inside of you. So it makes sense why for me to tell you do this and be this when you don't feel that or you're not really that, it doesn't go very far. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then we've got patience is the next one. Patience. Who wants to hold patience? Can be a bigger kid or even a really big kid and still hold it. Yeah, you want to hold this one? Your dad's hoping it's going to wear off on you. If you hold this, it'll like soak in. Will you come hold it for me? Maddie will come hold it. Just anywhere up here if you want. You can stand on a chair if you want. I don't care if you. Patience. This is a great word, long-suffering, right? We all love that word, long-suffering. We're like, sign me up for that. What's patience look like or mean to you? Patience.
Lois said, suck it up.
Suck it up, right? Suck it up. Anyone else? Patience. So patience could be defined as the ability to endure difficult circumstances, such as perseverance in the face of delay, tolerance of provocation without responding in annoyance or anger, or forbearance when under strain, especially when faced with long-term difficulties. Are you going to come on up here? Yeah, there you go. There we go. Awesome. Now we have this list, right? We have this list. We have compassion, kindness, humility, and patience. Oh, actually, I think I missed gentleness. I didn't give a gentleness sign. Who wants to be gentle? A gentleness sign. Jacob's going to be. Jake, you want to come be gentle for me? Thank you. He's gentle. Right? So here's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, we've got compassion, right? This is, you know, be compassionate, have compassion, kindness, humility, patience, gentleness. And I think part of the problem is when we're taught this, we're simply taught to be and do these things. So the question for you is, okay, what else does he want to say about this? Okay, that's enough there. Now he says this. He goes on to say, bear with. Now, I would suggest to you that to bear with someone, we almost feel like it's being patient. When we define to bear with, we define it almost like being patient. It's this idea like, this is annoying, but I'll put up with it, right? That's how we define, just bear with them. They're an idiot, but just, it'll end soon. Put up with them, right? That is not at all what the word means. It literally means to like hold up, right? So it's kind of like there's an effort that it takes to hold up, and sometimes it's for a period of time that you have to hold them up. So what you see is you see they're down. They're in a spot where they need a hand, and you bear with them, so you lift them up, right? And you hold them, and that can be done with difficulty depending on how heavy they are, right? So that's why I chose someone I know that wouldn't get offended, but also someone that wasn't too heavy. I didn't pick up Jake here, so... Although I should try to bear with him too. So you bear with each other. So not only do you put up with each other, you go above and beyond that. You lift them up when they're down. When they're acting silly, you help lift them up. You don't just simply put up with them. And then he even takes it to another level. Forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. So when I do something wrong to you, you've got to forgive me. Right? And the reason we forgive is we forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, so do you see that? Like, you have to forgive me because God forgave you. You want the tiny one? Let's see, how about, I don't know if I have a tinier one, but, oh, is it right there? Okay. Oh, you can help me with that one in a minute. You forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then what it says is you put on, over all these things, what you do is you actually put on love. Because if you have love, these things happen underneath it, almost as an umbrella. Because when I'm loving you, it's not so hard to be kind. And when I'm loving you, it's not so hard to be humble, right? It's not so hard to be compassionate. It's not so hard to be patient. It's not so hard to be gentle. But we sort of get that out of order. We sort of get that out of order. Do you guys want to stand up here as I keep going, or do you want to sit down for a minute with your signs and come back up? You want to sit down for a minute? Good? Okay, stay here. Help me out. This is better. So this idea of putting love, and this, I'm not the first one to say this, but this bears repeating. It really says this. If you're doing this, you would always be asking this question. You would always be asking, what does love require me to do in this situation? You can sit down if you want. That's fine. Do you want to sit right here? Here, watch this. Ready? Boom, there you go. I skipped ahead. Okay, so it's always asking that question, like, what would love require me to do? Okay, so here's, now I need your help again. In your experience, have you or the others around you been able to do these things? And keep in mind, pretending doesn't count. If you simply talk like this, that doesn't mean that I'm really patient and humble. If I say, no offense, but I insult you, that I was meaning to offend you. Apparently in the South, if I say something like, oh, God bless her little soul, that I don't really want God to bless her little soul, right? Then we get into a whole other sermon called hypocrites, right? And so we don't want to say one thing and do another. Pretending doesn't count. So have you or others simply been able to will yourself to be these things? Have you been able to will yourself just because you want to do this? Maybe for a time. Maybe for a time, but not all the time. Fair to say? And pretending doesn't count. We used to pretend in the church, right? You dress this way, you talk this way. The guys have a little higher pitch in their voice to seem kind and patient. But those days have to end, like in the grave end. We need you to be who you are because you are part of the body that no one else is. And if you're not you, then you're not helping. So question that I have for you, why doesn't it work? And not a rhetorical question, really, why doesn't that work? What do you think? It's not real. It makes you dysfunctional. It's not sincere. It's not sincere when you try to act this way and you don't mean it. People can see it. Over here, I heard some. When I get in the way. When my attitude and my heart gets in the way. Sure. Yeah. There's no fruit. Okay. Tell me more about that. So if you're faking it, right? It's not going to produce any benefit to the others. Hey, we can use our sayings practice here, like say, oh yeah, or oh no, or hallelujah, or amen, or oh yeah, right? Whatever you want to say, like help each other out. This is some good stuff people are saying. Why else doesn't that work? The true character will always come out, yeah. This stuff isn't natural for us, right? Yeah. Yeah. She said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. If it's not Christ in you doing this, right? Then it's not going to work. Okay, so what gets in the way? You said self. What's that?
Flesh.
Right? That flesh.
All the desires.
Yeah, what gets in the way?
Pride.
What? Pride? Yeah, pride. Oh, yeah, right? Oh, yeah. Yeet, whatever. I need some yeets or something and some help here. Oh, Ty's not here. I wrote down some things. First of all, you know, Brandy and I, we've studied some counseling, studying the scripture, living life together with people over the last decade. And here, it almost always comes back to fear. We're very fearful creatures, and that's why God is always saying, fear not. Right? Because we do fear. And the fear looks a little different. So one idea is self-protection. You know what self-protection is?
You protect yourself.
You protect yourself. Very good. That's exactly right, right? You protect yourself. It's hard to be all these things because eventually you're going to be like, if I am gentle and patient and humble and kind and compassionate, then they're going to hurt me. Right? I saw that special. I don't give a... Stop a second. I'm not telling you to give a dollar to every homeless person you see. But you saw the special where the homeless person made more money than you or your grandpa, and they sat under the bridge, and they got in their Mercedes and drove away. Everyone saw that new special, right? So now you refuse because of your self-protection. I don't want to be duped that you never give anybody a dollar who's homeless because you don't want them to spend it on their Mercedes. That's self-protection. That's what happens. We've been jaded. We say things like the older brother and the prodigal son. We say things like, that's not fair. I can't let them get away with that. So we're not gentle. We're not humble. Our self-reliance. The world harms us, hurts us. We begin to think, it's all up to me. It's all up to me. I'm in this alone. And another one that I hear out a lot is this idea that they did it to themselves. They did that to themselves. Any of these ring true so far? You guys? Oh, yeah? Oh, no? Will, you're way off base. Help me out here, okay? Now, here's another problem that we have. Acceptance versus rejection. Every one of you, whether you like it or not, wants to be accepted. You want to be accepted. You don't want to be rejected. You long to be loved. You were created to be in community, to be loved, to be accepted. And you start off that way. After some time, we might get a hardened shell where we say, I don't care what you think about me, right? Yeah, you can get there. However, really, you do care. At some level, there's got to be a group of people that you care think of what they think about you. It happens. So it's this, you want to be accepted and not rejected. So this kind of, this fight, right, to have value, to protect yourself, to feel rejected, gets in the way of these virtues. And here's a good one. Someone had said, like Jesus, he was these things. One thing that Jesus did was he gave up his right to be right. Jesus did not count what was due to him because of who he was, but he humbled himself, right? Do you want me to take that for you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll hold it for you. It's slippery. Yeah. You're doing... let's see, how about... I don't know. Actually, I won't give you that one here. Do you want to hold my Bible for me? Hold that up so they know it's from the Bible. Then Jesus gave up his right to be right. So even if you are right, even if they don't deserve you to be gentle, right? God's calling you to do that. Even if you don't think they're going to change, you're called to be patient. Even if you think you're tired of the way that they're acting, you want to be right. You have to offer kindness. You have to offer compassion. And the other part is my entitlement to good things, right? All these things work into that fear. Ultimately, unbelief, not trusting Jesus. See, because when I'm patient with someone, I'm not really saying that I think they'll come around or I think the things will change. What I'm saying is I trust that God will do what he's going to do. right? I'm trusting God. When I'm gentle, I don't have to be hard because Jesus will make all things right. When I'm humble, I know that if I humble myself at the right time, the Lord will elevate me with him. If I'm kind, I'm showing kindness because God showed me kindness. He's forgiven me. He's left me. If I'm compassionate, it's because I have a compassionate God who's not slow to judgment, but patient with me and compassionate so that none of us would fail. Awesome. Okay, let's give these guys a hand. Have them sit down here. Want to just set these down here for me? Set them right here. Make a stack right there. You guys can have a seat. Good job. I'll help you down, okay? There you go. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Eleanor, thank you. They did a great job. Okay, that's a lot of words and a lot of cuteness, Will. Well, I want you to consider this. In rereading that scripture, if you go back to verse 12, before we're given all these virtues, and we get caught up in the act of doing in our faith, and there is an action part to our faith, but we get caught in doing. So we make a list of these things, of being patient, of being humble, and we try to live those out. And although we should try to live those out, with this, as most things, I feel we get things out of order. This is a common truth that God's showing me across the board. We get things out of order. We get them in the wrong place, and when they're out of order, they don't work. And we race through the scripture, and we miss this. But verse 12 said this. Before it tells us to put on all those things, it says this. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. It seems like an introduction to the sentence, but in this is where everything lies. Well, what do you mean, Will? First of all, I mean, do you understand that you were born in this time and this place? And whether you like it or you were dragged here today, you have an opportunity to come into a place and hear about God and worship him. And you have a freedom to do that. In a lot of places in the world and a lot of places throughout time, that was not so. So when God was deciding when to have you be born and where to have you be born, all that had to come into play for us to be together today. And I don't often think about that. So that simple line is God's chosen people. I mean, you can argue theology, predestination, whatever. You can try to put God in the time restraint, which I don't want to do. All I know is God told me what happened in the past, what's happening now, what's happening in the future. He's outside time. He's in control. And in spite of that, somehow he gives us freedom of choice, knowing what we'll choose before we choose it. And that creates goo of your brain when you start to think about it. So instead, what the Bible asks us to do is trust that God gets it, even if I don't. And if I'm supposed to get it, he's going to explain it to me. And if not, then what I do is I have faith that God's going to do it, and I should be thankful. So can we just say thank you, God, that, I mean, like, seriously, thank you, God, that you born me to this place and this time, right? Like, that God has chosen me to be here to hear this gospel, this message. Wow. I mean, that should be all we need to hear on any day. But I won't stop there. Don't worry. And then it says this, holy and dearly loved. Okay, so hold that close. That you were chosen for this time and this place to hear this message today. But not only that, he's saying you're holy. Holy, the word really means kind of set apart, right? It's become a church word over time to mean like churchy. It's not what it means. Set apart, but the word here could also be given these meanings. Considered blameless or pure. I mean, how many bad things have you done? How many things have you not done that you wish you would have done? How many things have you seen that you wish you hadn't had seen? Mistakes that you made, things that you wish you could undo or redo. I mean, we all have it. I mean, I would venture if you're like 13 years old or more, you definitely probably have some awareness of this. So not only did God choose you for this time, but he's like, listen, guys, Paul's like, Paul wants to tell you, if he was here, he'd say, hey, you who believe in Jesus, because you've been chosen for this time to get this message, and because through Jesus you've been made holy, you've been made blameless, all those things reset, all those things washed away for those who ask Jesus to cover their sins.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Like, you don't have to go back. Remember last week, your body is fading away and it's getting rid of sin in your life. Hallelujah, that I'm 70 years old. Instead of, I'm 70, I wish I could be 20 again and undo the mistakes I made. No, what Jesus said is, I got a better way. Instead of going back to 20 and trying to live it again and all that headache, right? These little kids are beautiful, but for their parents, the rest of us are like, I remember when you couldn't just go lay down. I mean, you can't even go to the bathroom by yourself now, right? I mean, you got kids knocking at the door, and every mom here is like, I don't think I want to go back to that because it's kind of nice now. My kids feed themselves, go to the bathroom on their own, right? Or maybe your kids are like 50 now and that's a good thing because they've got a life and they got grandkids and their kids are not able to go to the bathroom on their own right now. And you're still able to go to the bathroom on your own, so we're doing good, okay? This is good. If you're not, praise God, he's getting rid of the sin out of your body. This is good. But this is super good news, right? If we can get that, we can't jump to the virtues till we get this. There's a mystery that throughout time, Paul says, people didn't get, but they get it now. Even us right now, depending on what you want to see at the end of the world. I mean, do you know that Jesus sets it right, not you? So you don't need to know if the coronavirus is the end of the world. You don't need to know if this person's the Antichrist. It really doesn't matter to the believer because we believe Jesus knows he's going to set that right. You don't have to freak out. You simply love everyone around you and love the Lord. So this is so cool that I, in spite of all my failings, every way I failed as a parent that I can't go back, every way I failed as a husband, every way I failed as a son, as a brother, as a friend, as your pastor, man, I'm glad Jesus can cover that. Start there. Don't even get to these signs yet. Don't even get to compassion yet. Start there. And then get this, dearly loved. Paul said, I'm dearly loved.
Even so he was a murderer.
Yeah. Dearly loved. Or beloved. Interesting fact, this love is an unconditional form. It's not, he loved you because you did this. As a matter of fact, the Bible turns that on its head and says, you can only love him because he first loved you. And if you look at the Old Testament and the people who had God encounter them, you'll find he counted them faithful and righteous before they ever were. Right? He knew Abram was a guy that he could count on, and he went to him. Before Abram did anything to earn God's love, he considered him righteous because he knew he was faithful. Moses, right? All these guys, right? Moses, to lead the people out, he was running away from his people. He killed an Egyptian. He'd done bad things, and God's like, that's my guy. Right? Really? And he's like, I can't even talk. Right? And then he gets Paul, the guy against the Jews, who apparently had a lot of issues, was not beautiful to look at, right, but really smart. God's like, that's the guy I'm going to use. I mean, God chooses because he knows his beloved. He knows his dearly loved. And this is something that you and I need to hear more than anything. Because in the end, we become so interdependent because we were made to be dependent on God. And now that we've removed him and his love out of the equation, we're desperately seeking to be dearly loved by the people around us. You ever felt that, to what it's like to be dearly loved? Yeah. Man. Like, I say this from experience. Like, I want to feel dearly loved from my wife. But that's a bill that she can't fill, that she can't pay 100% of the time. And you, as my friends out here, I want to be dearly loved by you. And my parents, I want them to dearly love me. But I remember that feeling, you know? I remember times, and I want my kids to dearly love them. And sometimes my kids do it, man. Sometimes Brandy does it. Sometimes you guys do it. Sometimes my parents did it. I was blessed as a kid. And when they did, you felt like you could fly, right? Do you ever remember that feeling? You felt so secure. If you were as blessed as I was as a kid, you weren't even aware of how bad things were in the world because you were so dearly loved at home, you were free to be this. Compassionate and kind and gentle. Like, you weren't on your own. Well, I really hope and I pray that if you have a significant other, that significant other for you, your spouse, if you're dating, your girlfriend will make, boyfriend will make you feel dearly loved. Like unconditionally loved. That they will know who you are more and more every day and love you for that. And parents, you should dearly love your kids. And children and young people, you should dearly love your parents and your friends. And brothers and sisters, we should dearly love each other. But once again, we're getting ahead of it. If I simply exhort you to dearly love the people around you, I'm skipping a step. Because here's how it works in the kingdom of God. This is how it works for you if you want to be a believer. It works this way, that love, right? We're supposed to love God with all we've got. This is the new commandment that he's given to us. Right? Love God with all we've got. Here's the problem. It says God loved us first. So you are only able to love God if you receive his love. So we love God with all we've got. We accept his love, which leads us to love ourselves. When you're dearly loved, you can love yourself. And then the scripture tells us, then we can love others because we feel dearly loved ourselves. Is that clear as mud right there? Yeah. Right? So you got that? So I'm like, love God. Okay, but you can't do it because you can't love God unless you know that he loves you, right? And then it says, okay, love your neighbor. Just be kind to them. But guess what? You're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So what if you don't even love yourself? Wow, man, you're short-circuited right there. And then you're feeling patient 1 minute and you're flying off the handle the next. So this is what the Bible says about this. Luke 10:27 says this. When they asked Jesus, like, out of all the commandments, all the things that we should do, what is the most important commandment of the law? And he answered this. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So I want you to consider this. We must start by knowing God's love and loving him. We must start by knowing God's love and loving him. Okay, all that Will did today, what did he want to tell us? I want you to take this away. I've really got to consider. I've really got to pray about. I really need to meditate on. I really need to look in the scripture. Even talk about the people that are around, talk with the people that are around me. I got to get this. I need to know more and more about God's love and in loving him because he loved me. Well, God seems so far and distant and unsearchable, right? Here's the awesome good news about Jesus. When Jesus came, he made this claim, and I know it's true. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've been with me, you've been with the Father. Look to me, through me is the only way to God. So you and I, in turn, we need to know the love of Jesus. That's it. Don't focus on the compassion and the patience. Don't start there. Don't take that, put that in your notebook. And then as you're receiving more of the love of God, watch that work in your life. It will work. You will love others. And then out of that, you won't need to be right or justified or self-protect, but instead you'll be kind and compassionate and loving. Paul wrote more than one letter, and this is one of the letters. He also wrote to a group of believers in Ephesus. And we call this letter Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, verse 16. He's telling these believers, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with all power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all measure of all the fullness of God. Here's what I want you to consider. If you go to lunch after this, this is what you should talk about. If you go home, this is what you should talk about. If you're praying, this is what I would encourage you to pray about. You've got to start with this, the fact that you are dearly loved. You're dearly loved. I know it's hard. It's hard to receive it. It's got to start there. It's not the end. It's got to start there. You are dearly loved. We're all dearly loved, but we never knew it. So if you're here today and you said, this sounds good, I really want to be dearly loved, but you've been kind of hung up a little bit on this, and maybe God's stirring in your heart, I want you guys to meet Randy. If you don't know him, this is Pastor Randy here too, and he's one of the elders and myself. And I didn't ask you about this, but I know you're good for me to impose on you. After we talk about this, we'll play a couple songs, and that way we can sing and kind of pray and praise God. But during that, I'm going to go stand back there, and I'm going to ask Randy to stand back there, because I really think there's people in here who've been hung up for some time. And it's because they've been shown or taught or believe that they have to be those virtues, and they're just not sure they can do it. Or maybe they've seen other people who've claimed Christ as their Lord trying to be those things, but they've been unable to do it. And for whatever reason, it's turned them away from the faith. But now is the time that they need to start back with the truth. And the reality is, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, his wrath is coming for you. And because he loves you so much, even though you didn't accept him, he's chose you to be here today. And to hear this so that you actually have a chance to get unstuck in that and get back to the basic truth that God so loved the world, it says. So loved the world, the people, you and I, right? The ones that he's patient not to judge right now, but instead he's long-suffering and making all of creation long-suffer till you can come to faith in him. Those same people, the world, he so loved you and I that he gave Jesus his only son to come to earth and to die the death that I deserve and you deserve for your sin. And he did that so none of us would perish forever, but instead we'd have everlasting life from him. And we don't have to receive all those virtues first. We really receive this. I hear you that I'm dearly loved. I need to be dearly loved. And today is the day I'm going to receive that love. If you feel that, come talk to me or Randy. And we'll pray with you. And maybe, but also I kind of wonder if there might be some obedience here. I wonder if some of you did that, but you didn't follow Jesus in being baptized. Because we follow Jesus' example. So we baptize people here based on their profession of faith. And we do it in a hot tub because nothing like suffering at 102 degrees for the Lord, right? And so we do that here. And if you have been having a faith in God, but out of your own pride or fear or uncertainty, you've refused to be baptized over time and he's pulling on your heart, we can remedy that too. It's chlorinated. It kills all coronavirus. You'll be great. You'll probably be safer than the rest of us. So you can talk to Randy about that. So you got that. Consider the fact that you are dearly loved. If you want to talk to somebody about that because there's this hang up in your heart, or maybe you've walked away from the faith for a long time and you want to talk about that. Maybe you've been hesitating on being baptized. Would you come talk to us about that? And if not, would you simply just receive God's love and praise him through songs with us? So let me pray, and then we'll sing. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for loving me. Man, I'm so glad that you weren't waiting for me to get myself cleaned up before you came for me. You'd still be waiting. Lord, I confess, man, I struggle with receiving your love at times. So I ask, Lord, based on what Paul's shown us, that you would fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your power so that we begin to know the height and the depth and the width and the length of your love. That we would know how powerful your love is and how far it will go to get us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of everyone here today and that you would write this on their heart, that they are dearly loved by you. Hear these songs as our praise to you, our prayer. Jesus, we pray this in your name, in your power, in your authority. Amen.